It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. Been going a while now, Daniel. What, 3-4 years now?
Well, I've been doing it for around five, yeah, but I think we've been here for over two.
Certainly over two. I think it's 3 years here this spring. So always great information, covered just about every subject under the sun. You want to kind of revisit some issues having to do with children and the whole idea of input, output, and how this is contributing to us to losing our children.
Yeah, it's actually two titles, isn't it? Input, output. The idea behind input, output is, of course, it shouldn't surprise us if we give certain input to our kids that we get certain output. And it's kind of a sad or a sober topic today because the second title here, Losing Our Children, you know, we're finally raising a detached generation. Dissociated generation. You've maybe heard or sound familiar maybe to some of the listeners, the dissociative personality disorder or dissociation. Mm-hmm. And I had a psychiatrist friend. I think he's still my friend, but haven't seen him for a long time. He's moved away to happier days in Florida.
Okay.
But he came to the conclusion that dissociation was common in all of the major mental health diagnoses, dissociation, detachment from reality, the extreme dissociation would be what used to be called multiple personality disorder, you know, where you dissociate so much that there's actually a psychic break and has to do with maybe a lot of shame or something over or a pain or shame or a situation where the only way you can deal with it is to have almost like an alter ego that has that particular experience, and you separate yourself from it. Hmm. We can do that without having that much of a break. I've known people, maybe you've known people who have done something or had something done to them that was very embarrassing or shameful, and over time they've actually forgotten that ever happened. And if you reminded them about it, they'd have trouble recalling it because they actually were able to separate themselves from the situation. Hmm. So, you know, it's possible for people who have committed a crime to actually forget that they'd committed the crime, which is hard for some people to believe. But so we're raising a generation of kids like that. We've lost our kids to a number of things, or losing our kids to a number of things. Medication, for one thing.
So you think medication has contributed to disassociation as opposed to helping it?
Yeah, because medication is become like part of the parenting plan for a lot of people. And of course, I don't see as many children at all as I used to see. It was, when I back starting my career 20-some years ago, it was all families and children. About 5 years, I worked down in Tacoma at a public Greater Lakes Mental Health organization where my entire client load were children and parents. And it was usually almost invariably only one parent. There were a lot, most generally, fathers weren't in the picture, which is part of the problem. But medication was always a part of the parenting plan. And the thing about medication is it takes out certain factors that would be part of the challenge of parenting. Of course, parenting is challenging, uniquely challenging today for a number of reasons. But if you stop to think about it, parenting has always been challenging. You know, there have always been, for every generation, there have been reasons why parenting is challenging. You know, we had the Civil War. I'm sure it was challenging then. Then we had the First World War and the Great Depression, the Second World War, and you know, you've got the families used to be a lot bigger, the Dust Bowl situation, you know, of during the Depression. And so there's always, for every generation and in different parts of the world, there's always something that makes parenting a huge challenge. So although it's uniquely challenging today, that shouldn't really be an excuse. And today, unfortunately, too, In many cultures, abortion and drugging the kids seems to be just a quick answer. So a lot of times we're losing our kids to medication. We're losing our kids to technology. I had a story about walking along and coming toward me was a mother pushing a child in a stroller. Now, I wish I had a photograph that I could show people of the look on this boy's face who was in the stroller. It really got a hold of my heart because it was the saddest thing I had seen. He looked at me like he'd been sentenced to life in prison, and he just looked away. It was almost as though if he could say words to me, he would say, "Oh, you're an adult. You're one of these. You're one of those." And here was mom behind. So, you know, you can picture the stroller, the hood's on the stroller, although the sun is shining. And the mom is pushing him, and she's chatting away on her phone to a friend. Now, you got to imagine the message that that kid is getting. He's totally isolated. As opposed to parents who might be strolling their kids along and talking to the children as they stroll them along, where the kids are pointing to birds and pointing to dogs, and their parents are responding. No, here's a person pushing along, involved with a phone, and the child is in a total different world, so in a world where his look at me was, you're an adult. Yeah, you're
so
one of
it's
those.
Not just the technology's effects on the kids, but also the parents.
We're losing our kids to technology, mm-hmm. not only their involvement in it, but our involvement in it.
Okay.
We're losing our kids to virtual reality. An article by Dr. Gail Gross, Failing Our Boys. 10,000, by the time the average male is 21, he's looked at 10,000 hours of games.
Mm.
This is the kinds of games that don't require a lot of thinking. They would say it requires, mind and hand response. But it's, again, we talked about in the last show a week ago about it's the amygdala as opposed to the hippocampus. Mm. The hippocampus. And so, and TV reality has to do with that too, virtual reality. You know, our kids are learning their values from television. Not from parents. And we're losing our children to absurdism. We're losing our children to different
ways. Now, what do you
mean
by that, absurdism?
Well, total absence of moral and reasonable value base. I saw a little clip of a girl. She's about three, maybe. She looks like three. She could be older, but she looks like three to me. She's throwing a piece of garbage in a garbage can, and then she turns around and looks at the camera and with both hands gives the obscene gesture to the camera. Now, who's got the camera? Well, it's the parent, and the parent holds the camera on that kid because to the parent, that's funny. And if I'm the kid, I'm thinking, thanks, Mom and Dad, for bringing me into the world and ruining my life by the age three. So people say, you're a little heavy-handed there, Dan, because there's still time for this girl. The parents can correct. Lots of you's had bad parenting, and there's still time to change. You know that if that girl is three, you're looking at 85% of her adult personality. She's already 85%. That's 85% of who she's going to be. Mm-hmm. So don't think that you have time. You know, the kids are young. We're making lots of mistakes. You know, we're not really thinking it through, just kind of flying, you know, shooting from the hip, going on autopilot.
They can bounce back.
They can bounce back. Don't kid yourself. By the time they're three, you're already 85% behind the game. And they've already learned things that they're never, ever going to forget. That little girl, by age three, I could tell you that the chances of her ever having a decent job or a decent relationship are very, very low. By three years old. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. So we're raising children who live in an intellectually shallow, and it's a world of emotionalism. Mm. The feel good generation. You know, even a lot of church programs and church music mirror this feel good mentality for the youth. Little or no patience or stamina for contemplation, reason, or learning. Seems like kids today quickly choose the first popular answer to social, relational, philosophical, or political issues. I was thinking about even when kids do research now for school, and they do research on the internet, but a lot of times they don't go deep. You know how many pages there can be on the internet if you Google some particular topic, there can be pages after pages after pages. But kids rarely go past the first five positions. That's kind of like whoever pays Google the most for that position is going to be that their opinion is going to be the truth, because nobody else is going to be read. So kids don't do like they used to, where, you know, when I was in school in even my bachelor's degree, the big library was in University of Washington. They have 10 libraries at the University of Washington. It was drive up there in the evening and go from library to library, researching abstracts and pulling together material and checking the books out. Now you can just do that at home, and you're just going to pick the first five and get a couple things like that and just say what they say.
And just cut and paste and don't read any of it.
And don't really research it and don't really think through it. So even that, and this becomes more than a temporary or external social dilemma that we're talking about here, because it's now a human brain thing. Let me go through that a little bit. So we are raising a generation of children who are more white brain matter than gray brain matter.
What is that? I've never heard that distinction.
We talked a little bit in the previous show
white
is
brain
about
matter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the gray brain matter is responsible for the transmuting or the conducting or the exchange of information that has to do with, again, reasoning, contemplating, calculating, communicating, those kinds of things. The white matter in the brain is just quick response. And so once again, this gets back to the hippocampus, as we talked last week. Is the hippocampus creating neurons, or is it creating this other oligodendrocytes, which has to do with just quick response and or fulfilling quick response to that? It's a human brain thing. We've raised and are raising generation of kids who, again, like I say, more gray matter than white. And it seems like we're like almost three generations deep in this. It's not like it's happened all of a sudden. These are the values not only of the young children that I see, but the values of their parents and sometimes the values of their grandparents. So I don't know if we can turn it around, but hopefully we can do a little bit better here. Quoting from an article that we, again, quoted last time, too, Effects of Stress on the Hippocampus. The shift in control to the low road favors automatic habits as the amygdala draws on our knee-jerk response to save us. The thinking brain gets sidelined for the duration the high road moves too slowly. It's too much work, too much effort to think and contemplate and reason and those kinds of things. So we go the quick route. Games of strategy have largely been replaced by games of quick response. This is part of both the cause and the effect of the shift from the hippocampus to the amygdala. Question for parents. Do you notice your child gets angry when you pull her away from that quick response game? Do you notice that? I've had parents tell me that when they tell their son to put the game away, he'll throw the game across the room or something like that. Well, is it any wonder? Because those games are operating using the fight or flight center of the brain. That's what's growing when they're in that. So we're losing our kids to that stuff. Station break?
We do need to take a break.
And then I want to talk about, can counseling help? So we'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And come back.
Interesting subject this week, how the input and output is making us lose our kids. Interesting subject. Daniel works with families a lot of times, works with children. And if you are a parent or maybe a grandparent, you're concerned about your teenage grandson who can't get away from that video game, Daniel might be able to help here. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find this radio show podcasted at that website. My offices are in Kirkland and Edmonds, and we'll be back in a minute.
Okay, we will be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
And co-host Mark Holland, looking at how to help kids with the kind of input and output they're getting these days in this advanced culture, so-called advanced culture. Mm-hmm. You wanted to kind of put a slight disclaimer on there. You don't work so much with kids by themselves, but you can work with parents mm-hmm. who've got problems with their kids.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about what counseling actually does for kids. And as I said earlier in the show, early in my career, it was all children and parents, and the children ranged from the age 2 was the youngest that I ever quote unquote counseled.
2.
And and then kids up to 18 or 21, and I guess there are even kids in their 40s today. In fact, I've been accused of being a kid. I'm older than that. So a lot of people will say, well, okay, you're painting a pretty bleak picture, Dan. Does counseling help? It's interesting here. There are 4 general stages of childhood development, and each one of these stages requires a shift in parenting emphasis, because you don't parent your teenager like you parented your toddler. Parenting evolves just as our kids are growing. The whole parenting approach has to change. The parenting emphasis has to change. The parenting style has to change. You don't talk to a person that is, you know, entering adulthood. You don't talk to them like you do a pre-adolescent or a mid-adolescent or a toddler. And so these are toddler, pre-adolescent, early adolescent, late adolescent is how I've got them broken down here. And then, not coincidentally, childhood counseling approaches mirror these needed shifts in parenting emphasis. For example, if you were to take a toddler or a pre-adolescent child for counseling, particularly an older toddler or a younger pre-adolescent, they would probably suggest play therapy, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not cognitive dissonant therapy or something, you know, but play therapy. If you were to take, say, for example, an early adolescent in that range, they would probably talk to you about mentoring, empathy, joining, like big brother, big sister kinds of mm-hmm. counseling. In fact, mm-hmm. when I was at Greater Lakes and counseled that whole span of kids, a lot of times these early adolescent kids, we go out and shoot basketball or throw the football around. A big brother, big sister mentoring mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Late adolescent kids, you're talking more the cognitive, maybe rational, emotive, helping them to understand, kind of make the transition into adult thinking, understanding themselves, why you do things this way, how you can change your behavior, getting them to think on their own. What does this tell us? Well, it tells us that the counselors are simply providing what the child would need from their parents.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like this is stuff where parents should have been doing these things.
And so why would you want to pass off to a stranger the responsibility and the reward of parenting at those particular chimes? Why would you want to do that? Well, you say, well, because I'm busy. Dad's not around. So, yeah, there are lots of challenges. But I guess my thing is, we maybe can't be perfect, but we can do a lot better. Parenting is challenging, but it is our job. It is the job mm-hmm. that we have if we're mm-hmm. parents. So children want their parents to be heroes. Parents bring in their children, can you counsel my children? And I always tell the parents, your child, I can counsel your child and I can counsel you and your child. But I usually tell them, if the counseling goes well, it will probably not be very much counseling, because kids really want their parents to be the heroes and have the answers. Mm-hmm. They don't want strangers to do that. Now, sometimes there are the parent is gone, and so that has to be done. And you know, so that there are you can find mentors in the church and things like that, or mentors at the school. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but parents should realize that your kids want you to be right. They want you to be. You know, that doesn't mean that you get permission to fib to them and it's counted as truth. Parents need to be learning too, but they want you to be the hero. They don't want you to be the answer. So when I'm counseling, kids, usually it doesn't last long. The kids, healthy kids, would rather their parents be the heroes than a stranger or a counselor. So I wind up a lot of times trying to counsel the parents. For a while. Mm-hmm. Now,
let's get into some specific actions people can take.
Yeah. So I've got just a short list here. Remember back to the story that I told about the gal on the cell phone, and I see this so much where somebody was telling me about a restaurant situation where there were two young boys, and the boys were sort of hassling, you know, back and forth with each other, kind of poking fun at each other and eating through their food. It looked like they'd come from a soccer game. The dad was there. He was dressed for soccer too. And the dad was on his phone the entire time, has his face stuck in his phone the entire time. He would look up occasionally and say something to the boys and go right back to his phone. I say to parents, get off your phone, get off your technology, lose your phone. When you're out with your child, everyone else should be a distant afterthought and not the other way around. So shut your phone off and let the call wait. That would be number one. Number two, encourage games and activities that engage patience, contemplation, rationale, discovery, and get them away from the games. Very little time spent on these fast action, fast response games, because that's just growing the amygdala. And again, it shouldn't surprise you that they get angry when you tell them to put the game down because they're playing in their amygdala. That's what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so get them away from that.
How about maybe taking up a better kind of game? You mentioned chess on another show.
Yeah, because chess is one where there's a lot of contemplation and planning going. Mm-hmm. Some of these other games can be strategic games, but not the games where you quickly push button gets, the violent games, of course, is feeding to that. But some of these games are just quick. You can learn the answers quickly and you can almost go by impulse through some of these fast games. Mm. And it really is, that's your amygdala. That's not your hippocampus.
Okay.
Number three, be a diligent student of your child's experience. I wish I could say that about 100 times. I'll just say it twice. Be a diligent student of your child's experience, of his or her wonder. I see this again with people pushing their little kids along, you know, chatting on a phone when they should be pointing things out to the child. There's a butterfly. Look at that dog. Look at that tree. Look at this leaf. And pointing that out and being a student of the child's wonder, a student of the child's ways. How do they learn? Every child learns differently and talks to you differently. Their highs, their lows, their fears, their joys. Be a student of that. Forget about finding out who you are. Let me say it again. Forget about finding out who you are. You're a parent. Find out who your child is. That's your job. Number four, develop the language that works for you and your child, the language that evolves and accommodates the changes that you're both going through while encouraging growth and maturity. You don't have to talk to your kids in their language. You can encourage them to use adult language. With my daughter once years ago, we sat down to have a talk because she, you know, we said, well, we don't talk very much. So we talked, and I asked her a question, and she said, whatever. And I stopped her there, and I said, no, I'm giving you an opportunity to tell me what you're thinking, and you're throwing the opportunity away. So you don't have to talk down to their level, but there's a language that both of you should be evolving and growing together that accommodates the growth and the maturing of the child. Because it's someday when they're in their late adolescence, you want them to be able to talk to you like they would talk to an adult. And you see that is rare in the family where the children have not been able to gradually grow the language. So that's called the generation gap. The parents don't know how to talk to the kids, vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, number five, don't fail your kids by simply trying to teach values. Learn the values yourself and live them, because you don't teach the values mm-hmm. you wish you had. Mm-hmm. You only teach the values you have.
So modeling the right behavior, not just talking about it. Walk the talk, don't just talk the talk.
As a matter of fact, you know what will happen if you just say it and don't live it? You'll get resentment.
Mm.
You'll get resentment from your kids. They'll mm-hmm. see the hypocrisy, and that's what they'll be talking to you about or talking to their counselor about when they're teenagers and young adults.
Right. Well, kids face a lot of challenges these days. I think the main thing you mentioned, though, that really seemed to come out to me was the whole technology problem, mm-hmm. both for the kids and the parents. You know, put the technology mm-hmm. down. Get them into reading. That was one thing I wanted to
yeah.
throw in here,
yeah.
too,
oh,
is
yeah.
reading.
Mm-hmm.
How about reading them a story? Getting them kids who really like books and like to read, mm-hmm. I find are almost always the most well-adjusted
people. And that's a good point, because mm-hmm. I think when kids are small, if you read to them, they'll enjoy reading. I saw our daughter do this. We read to her when she was small. Mm-hmm. She would start to recognize certain mm-hmm. words as we were reading, then want to pick up the book herself, and although she wasn't really reading it, she would go through it page by page and have something mm-hmm. to say for each page.
She was learning.
You know, teach them to read by reading to them. Again, you can't just talk the values and expect to get anything but resentment. You have to live them and learn them and live mm-hmm. them yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you're struggling as a parent, you need some help, you need some coaching, some guidance here. Daniel Pryor has a lot of experience helping families, and how would people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. This show will be podcasted at BibleBasedCounselor.com, where people actually can email me through that website as well, offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.